Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is your instant reaction for Everton 1, Luton Town 2, Everton out of the FA Cup after a last gasp goal from Luton at the Park End. A dreadful performance, all in all. I'm joined by Dave Dowling in the Denby Castle. More might be joining us afterwards, but fair play to anyone who has just got home enough after that. I don't even know where to start after that day. Just me head scrambled after getting off the ground. But it was, you know, dreadful performance, absolutely dreadful performance. Emphasised probably by the fact that we've had 10 days to prepare for that. Yeah. We had a 10-day break after beating Palace, which, you know, wasn't a convincing performance. Me, you and Matt sat in here, tried to talk it up and talk about Andre Gomes, and it was all about getting through to the next round. But Jesus Christ, that was as bad as we've been all season, I think, today.
Yeah, it was. The way you said them, it's me and you down here talking. These are the type of games that are low as they are. When we've been doing the Blue Room, this is one that goes right to the bottom of the list, doesn't it, in regards to the performance. I actually liked what he selected there, basically a 4-4-2. I think, you know, we've banged on about it quite a lot, really. We spent talking about it on the mailbag as well, if anybody hasn't listened to it, about sort of trying, being the only really option we've got. Not that you'd automatically select it, but the fact you go with two up front with Beto and Calvert-Lewin, but it was pretty clear after the first 15 minutes, it just wasn't going to work whatsoever, really. Despite the fact that Dice yesterday said that they'd been trying and it was working really well in training, but, you know, obviously training is very, very different to the actual game itself. It felt like one of those days at Goodison that was just flat from the start, really, and it needed... Fan-wise, we have some peculiar ones like this where you desperately need the players to inspire what's going on the pitch, and because it was such a flat game, a boring game, you're not seeing two sides create chances. I'm not saying the Luton were particularly defensive on it at all. I thought they went...
I think they were comfortably better side.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Comfortably.
Absolutely, but they were comfortable to come forward, Matt. It wasn't like, you know, you've got a load of lads trying to pass it around the back and keep it away and keep possession. It wasn't like that. They had a purpose with the ball. They tried to get forward down the wings and things like that. Ourselves just... do you know, we've spoken about this quite a lot in recent weeks, given the cup competitions and stuff like that. And today felt to me that... I'm not going to say nobody was asked about it playing-wise, but it looked to me like a bit of a freebie for the team that was playing, really. The way in which they were... You can't imagine that, like, when we're in these games to sort of stay up in the Premier League and stuff like that, you'd have everybody giving absolutely everything. That wasn't there for me today. There wasn't players giving everything they can to try and get through to the next round of the FA Cup.
I think for me it was more just a lack of any idea of what we were doing. Like, I know, like the manager said, that they've been practicing playing up front together, but Jesus Christ, it didn't look like, did it? Like, they were both going for the same header. Neither of them were going for a header. It was like basic sort of... Do you know when you start playing up front when you're a kid and it's like one of you goes and wins the header and then the other one were onto the flick on? There was none of that at all. Like, the amount of times Dom... And like, I think what else it did was like Calvert-Lewin is obviously going through a rough time at the moment, but he is at his best when he's like getting the ball on his chest, winning headers, and then giving it and being a foil for other people. But like most of the games today, he was playing out wide because Beto was playing through the middle, and it just didn't work. And you know, they made five subs, I think, didn't they, before we made our first one. Yeah. And I mean, just I was just staggered by the total lack of a game plan. And it's one of them where, like, all those dormant fears like that you have about like players and the manager that you just try and push to the back of your mind because you're trying to be like when we do this, you try and be reasonable and you don't want to, like, you know, come on like on air and like say call everyone shite and call the manager shite and whatever. You try and be like reasonable, but like it was one of those days today where like all those little fears that you try and push to the back of your mind when you're trying to be sensible and trying to make sensible points about the team, they all just started like burrowing the way back through into your subconscious again. Like the manager, like, you think like set pieces, Jesus Christ, against these this season. They scored two against us in the game against Goodison. They've scored two against us today. Like, aren't we supposed to be a team that is equipped to deal with like that kind of long ball, yard dog football? Which, yeah, you know, like you said, we played more of that football than them today. Don't get me wrong, but their goals ultimately come from set pieces, which we don't deal with. It's like, aren't we supposed to be good at that? Isn't that supposed to be like something that this manager excels at? Like, and again, like the idea as well that, you know, you're playing against a team at home who you should beat, and I'm doing inverted commas there with my hands. What was the plan to beat them? Just like, it felt like all we were trying to do today was get hold of the ball in wide areas and just lash it into the channel. And it was like Calvert-Lewin chases it on one side, Better chases it on the other side. You try and get free kicks, you try and get set pieces, and you go from there. And like, I know we're a bad side and we've got a lot of bad players in this team, but I don't know if we need to reduce it to that. I don't know if we need to go that route one and that to that level, because you know, I put on Twitter today, like when I saw the team, jokingly, like a gif of a fella looking up in the air being like, that's going to be our midfield today. But I didn't think it was going to be quite that direct and quite as one dimensional as that.
No, you're absolutely right. It was you know, what most people, and initially for my own sins, when Dyche first came, I thought this is going to be what Everton do, and that was, it came out in full today, the way in which you'd expect to see what he did at Burnley, only because of the players he had to work with there. We felt like,
well, that today was the Dyche nightmare, wasn't it?
No, that's exactly what I mean, because he'd gone the other way, and because he relatively been successful for us in the last year, because it's a year anniversary yesterday, wasn't it? With in mind, you know, you look back across that year, it's relatively positive for him and what he did. I've said quite a few times that I don't think we'd have stayed up if it was anyone but him coming in. Completely happy with that, content with him being the manager, don't get me wrong. But when you see him play like that, it felt like the thing, like you say, like you hinted at there, the sort of thing that was forced to descend at Burnley, but it's not at Everton. He didn't need to do that at Everton, the way in which he played. That two up front there, I think, has a lot of other facets attached to it. You look at the, like you said there, the ball that goes through them, it's so simple for one of our defenders. Like, for instance, Tarkowski always loves to play a diagonal successfully. He's playing that straight down, and if we don't win it, or if we do, it's not going to any of our players. You mentioned it yourself there, Dom's game is win the header or take it on his chest, lay it off and then bomb it into the box. There was none of that there. It was just a catastrophe with that. And you know, that you think that is Ed now. That what you were saying there about the midfield itself. Ed's just joined us now. For anybody else who thinks we're just laughing at each other. yeah, I mean, that was a problem when you saw the midfield. And I seen your tweet there. I thought, before I'd seen the team, I thought, oh, what's Matt on about here? What's going on here? We played like six in midfield or something like that. Went and seen it, and I thought, okay. The issue I've got, and I'm not, well, I am going to single him out, is Jack Harrison. Jack Harrison is not a Premier League player. I know he scored the goal, his jammy goal that he goes and scores, but Jack Harrison tries his heart out, bless him. But that's why you can see he's not the kind of player we need. He's not going to be a good enough player for you in the Premier League, despite the fact that how much he puts everything into. That's why I'm saying he's a Championship player, because most Championship sides, you see everyone running the bollocks off, and that's how they go and get results. It's different here, and I know what any players, again, inverted commas, I'm saying, playing Luton, but Luton are a Premier League side, and like I've said it a few times, Luton are going to be a hard side to finish above for us in the Premier League if we don't go get those points back. And that is why I think Dyche, going back to how we were and then didn't have a clue with the subs, like you say, they made five subs before we made one. He put Schmitty on as well. No idea what it's about with that kid yet, apart from the fact he had a decent scrap in one of theirs, right in front of you on the Gladys.
Yeah.
It was a lack of ideas. And I do think, Matt, as much as I've just bigged up what Dice has done for us in the last year, you know, kudos for all of that stuff, but there's a point where he needs to be responsible for this. And today I thought he was, the way in which he set that system up, like we said with the two, everything else, the way in which that team was set up, it didn't look, I'm not going to far to saying he wasn't arsed about us going out of this, but that if we were playing that game in the Premier League, I think it would have been completely different how we set it up.
How are you feeling about that Ed? Me and Dave just, you know, struggling very much with it at the moment.
Anyway, good news about Klopp, isn't it?
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
That was extremely painful. I think as far as there's going to be criticism about Dyche, it's completely fair, manager losing team. He cannot legislate for the shoddy errors today, the number of passes which were ill thought out or over hit, under hit. Stuff that you would expect Premier League footballers to be able to do. And it's interesting as well, I was looking at the Luton substitutions as well. They took off Barkley, they took off Alti Doty's, their probably most creative player. Yeah, their best two players. It's not as if they were gunning for the win. They brought on Corley Woodrow, who I last saw in League One, and he went on and scored the winner. So it's not as if Luton's substitutions were going to change the game. It's just that we completely failed to grasp a massive opportunity. It's just so frustrating. It's really hard to conjure up positives. I think a few pragmatists will be saying now it's good to focus on the league. And, you know, for other people, thousands of people don't have to go to Luton now, which is always a positive.
But having to go twice would be worse, though, wouldn't it?
Can't imagine.
That goal.
What I'm worried about now is how much that's going to affect the team, because that will be a real kick in the nuts for them, losing that at the last second. So they've got a week now ready to get ready for Spurs.
Well, we haven't. We've got to Fulham on Tuesday.
Oh, God. Jesus. I forgot about that completely. Oh, my God. Yes, well, there you go. Nice turnaround for the Fulham game. It's difficult to think of positives right now, but Virginia was made some good saves. That was nice. I've got nothing else. You're going to have to move on.
Do you know what? We've had a laugh about it and stuff like that. What I said, particularly after Fulham, the fun me and you have had on the Monday show and all that. I'm sorry to keep repeating it, but I look at that game and call me a bit of a cynic here, and I don't want to tiptoe around it. I think you look at a game like that, performance like that, and the way Luton played, fair enough and stuff like that. But when their managers are both sitting in there in their relative dressing rooms now, I don't think Sean Dyche is thinking of this like he would in losing a Premier League game. To put it mildly, I'm not adding to the fact that, you know, I initially said that it's not bad to go out. It's obviously horrendous when, had we won that, you're going into the last 16, but perhaps get Maystone at home after what they've gone and done against Ipswich, although that looks like it would prove really difficult the way we are at the moment. But, you know, you do think of this now when the lineup he's picked, what we're doing on Tuesday now feels like a lot more difficult, because you obviously we generated momentum. We've seen what that was all about when we won that four on the spin. Everything bounces from next game to next game. There's consistency. What we're in now looks just a bit of a mess. You mentioned that midfield there, and I know we've spoken a lot about Garner. Just didn't look like he was even in the match at times. I just didn't feel like I seen him much.
He's faded massively. Like, I know, like, we joke about, like, I've always been critical of him, but like the last few weeks he's looked knackered. Like the bite and the tackle, like the running off the ball. Like every time it feels like he goes into like for a 50-50 duel, he either loses it. Like even when he tries and like brings people down, like not so much today. I'm thinking more about the last home game we had. There were a couple of times he tried to hack people down. Like, he just didn't have the strength to do it. He looks absolutely goosed.
I was going to say that his fitness doesn't look fantastic. He's not fast. He's not going to win you any headers because he's about 3 foot tall. You know, there are problems that start to come to you, the forefront of your mind when this happens. You start thinking, I put on Twitter immediately after the game, do we actually realise how many of our players aren't actually that good enough? And I know it's really easy to say that, like you said at the start of this, where you're slating people because you've lost the game. But my words, there's a lot there. And this is where you do throw dice into the mix with this, because I think it's only fair that you'd include him, like you said then. You have to include him in how we're playing here. He's starting up a side like that, and the way in which he wants to play and set a system up like that. That in itself, then, I'm just saying obvious things about football, that's what the players need to follow in terms of what he said. If that is the absolute case, what we saw today, which we have to presume it is, then, you know, what's going on that training pitch when he's saying that Beto and Calvert-Lewin have done really well playing up front together? That's what he said in the presser yesterday. That's quite astonishing, really, to see what we've seen today. I have a hell of a lot more credit towards Sean Dyche than to do that. And it's a really bit of a conundrum, this, Matt, because it looked in the FA Cup games we've had so far, we really want to do this. You said it yourself. You know, you've just got to put your head down and go for it. Try and go and win a trophy, given all the shit we've had emotionally since this season started, everything that's been and gone. Like you rightly said there, go all out to win an FA Cup. Didn't feel like we were trying to do that today.
It's one of them, though, isn't it? Like I feel like a dickhead now, because like I remember being on that show of like you and Les, and we were talking about the deduction. I was like, go for the FA Cup, like, you know, but then you get carried away, and you're like, oh, go for it, you know, this because the Premier League's corrupt as fuck, etc. and all that shite. Don't want to go into it now, but like you go down, you get into that mindset, like, come on, go for it, you know, we can go on it, we can win this, and then you watch us play, and then you see like what Ed said about like players passing the ball 5 yards, like miles away from each other, and knocking it out of play, and knocking it down the channels, and you see, God bless him, Beto try and control the football, and you know, Chimiti come off the bench and just try and have a fight. And it's like, it's one thing to be like, go all out for the FA Cup and try and win it, and then you actually see us as a team. You're like, well, we are miles away. We're not even close to getting to a semi final. Like, let's be brutally honest. Like, it's because teams take the FA Cup probably a bit more seriously than the League Cup as well. It's like we just feel absolutely miles off. But like, the one thing I wanted to say, Ed, is like, I think we're all sat here now going like 4-4-2, never again. I think after Wolves we were going back five, never again. Is it just that none of this works without the core, right? Whatever system we play, like whoever we're playing against, whatever the players are around, like it just feels like we are so dependent on that one football to knit everything together that, you know, you can almost discard all the talk about systems and formations because he is just so important to us.
Yeah, that's essentially it. No system's going to work unless there's players who make it work. And Doucouré just seems to make that system work with the one behind the striker, because he's occupying such a huge amount of space. And the players today, I mean, Harrison stuck to where he was and didn't do much with it. Dwight McNeil, I think, is in the same boat as Jimmy Garner in that he wants to do stuff and you can see glimpses, but he is goosed. And
he's been rushed back, by the way. Like that's staggering to me.
It's just particularly
in
choice.
Particularly in a game like today, that's where you're being told to openly, lad, go and sit on the bench there, go and sit up in the stands. We need you for Tuesday.
And this is it. The 4-4-2 is enforced. The players who are out there were enforced. The fact that we've only got a small core group of trustworthy players is enforced because of all the problems we've had. We haven't been able to bring in players, and when we did, we made terrible choices. So our chickens are coming home to roost, and Sean Dyche has got to put 11 chickens out on the pitch and hope that they're going to win the game. And that simply should have happened today, because Luton, I know this sounds like, you know, me being a bit bitter, but they're not good. They're not good. They're not a good team. They didn't do much well today at all, and we've let them win twice at Goodison. And that's extremely infuriating. That's the position we're in right now. So we do need to scrap to survive. I suppose that's the only thing we can do. And as fans, that's not fun, because we want to go on cup runs. We want to enjoy it. We want to go to Wembley. We want to do all that stuff. We're not going to get that. All we can hope for is that come the end of the season, come Arsenal away, which I remind you is our last game of the season, we better
always
be safe.
Arsenal last day, isn't it? Seems to be Arsenal all the time.
Honestly. The only thing we can hope for right now is we go into that game and our routine 4-0 drubbing or whatever it is, having already held off Luton, Burnley, Sheffield United. So it's a sad position to be in. And I think the obviously all Dyche can do right now is fight fires, but he and Thelwell and everyone behind him, they are tasked now, giving us something to look forward to.
Yeah,
which is a huge task, especially with the constraints we've got. I don't envy them.
Yeah, you're sort of twisting between with those ties anyway. I think that's fair to say. I disagree with what you said there, of having some sort of naivety in what you said, because it's not what you said made a lot of sense. It's just I disagree with it in terms of what I prioritise. The laughing and joking we had aside from it in a serious way, what you said is exactly what we should be about as a football team. You've looked at it and thought there's three sides below us that we should comfortably finish above, regardless of losing 10 points. Let's go get a cup.
They always make you look like a dickhead, don't they, Everton? When you're trying to be positive about anything, and like you try and get carried away, and you think, right, I'm going to try and ride this wave of emotion and try and be upbeat. Somewhere down the line, at some point, they are going to make you look like a twat. Yeah.
For example, there was some fella on this post-match a couple of weeks ago, sounds a bit like me, who's saying Beto's good and trust Beto.
I
don't know.
Right,
do it yourself. Mate, you did well to convince everyone there. You know, that is absolutely brilliant. Oh, you said it to me. I said, I don't think he's that good, you know, and you went, no, I think he'll come good. And I'm saying, yeah, there'll be Paolo one shop at some point.
Whoever that fella was, I can only apologise for his conduct, because that was saddening today.
At least he's come today to have a chat about it, though, anyway.
He did get an assist.
And Jack Harrison got the goal, and I would say there were two,
sure
two worse
players. I'm not sure that I'm not counting that as a goal with the appalling effort at saving it.
It could be an own goal, that.
It seems to have gone through Tim Krull's Zimmer frame and gone in. It
didn't was ridiculous. He has him, by the way. He's a decent keeper.
I thought he'd retired about 4 years ago. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, when he came down, like after. Because didn't really get onto him in the first half, because he was the park end. When he came out for the second half, the glass, he was like, is that Tim Krull? Like, he's the one who like came off the bench and helped Holland. It was 2014. Like, Jesus Christ. I mean, did he have anything to do other than that terrible shot he never saved from Harrison?
I'm sure he still played for Newcastle when Alan Shearer had retired by then. Honestly, I just remember him at Newcastle. That's the only thing I ever remember the lad. And he's still got the same hair. It's, you know, I think it is laugh and joke time really at some point, isn't it, the way this has gone out today. I mean, it's difficult now for Dyche to go and get that out of play, and I know this is something that a lot of people say. I know it's very predictable what people seem to say in terms of bouncing back from games, but my word, mate, we've got 72 hours before we travel down there and play a Fulham side that only just went out of the League Cup to Liverpool. You've got some really, really good players and our ex-manager, and we had played against Barkley today. All like you said, the chickens are coming home to roost. This is exactly what seems to be happening.
Right,
Barkley, I've said it so many times, like, quite funnily enough, but it actually is true. Relatively true. I've said he's looked like Iniesta for them whenever I've seen Luton play. He's been responsible, a lot responsible, for everything they've done. They're only a point behind us in the league and all that, blah, blah, blah.
You're saying, well, no one went through him at any point.
Do you know what? I was thinking exactly that when we were talking about it. I'm thinking, do you know what? Treat him like you're hearing fans, what they're saying. Joe, just read the book and think, do you know what? You don't know the history, or they should know the history of what happened with Barkley and us, the way he got off and all that sort of thing. Very similar to Gordon as well. Put them in the stand. Do you know what I mean? You'll get a yellow card in that. There's an easy way of doing that when you're a professional footballer, to know how to go through someone, but you need to get a yellow. I'm not talking about two foot them in the head. No one needs to go that far, but you're absolutely right. Their best player, you're thinking of, you put yours next to him for as well, because our better player is better than this.
Just go through the back of him. Like I said, it was a sleepy game. Like, that's where you look at someone like, like, I think, like, sometimes this gets over-egged, but, like, someone like Coleman, and, like, you talk about leadership and all that. Like, there's no way that Ross Barkley gets through half an hour of that game if Seamus Coleman's on the pitch without getting booted up in the air. Because he knows what it's all about, and he knows what Goodison's about. Whereas, like, today, he's like, there's times he just had his foot on the ball, and he was, like, almost doing that Kanchelskis thing, you know, putting his hand, like trying to see where the ball was. It was absolutely insane. But, just final bits, really. Had Fulham on Tuesday, like, it feels big, doesn't it? Because Spurs, Saturday, City away after that, they are daunting fixtures. And, you know, I just feel like we need to go there and get something. Otherwise, it could start to get a bit messy.
Yeah, and I think Sean Dyche, instead of showing the players today's game, he ought to be showing them Brentford away. He ought to be showing them West Ham away. Showing them the blueprint for winning away matches like we were. Because we've still got those players, and we can still have that system. And yeah, okay, the lack of Doucouré does make a bit of a difference. But that's what we need to get back to now. Fulham are the favourites to win. We're all obviously going to be down because of how today's gone, how the last few weeks have gone. But it's another winnable football match, and that's hopefully how they're going to be thinking about it. And, well, as you say, the fixtures coming up are not friendly. But following that, the fixtures will start to open up a little bit, and we'll have games because we've got Luton obviously away, but Sheffield United and Burnley have got to come to us as well, and they won't be happy with that. And Forest have got to come to us as well.
Yeah.
So there's enough in it for us to survive, and even if we don't get something against Fulham, there's still enough for us to survive. But we've got to turn it around quickly, because you know how it is with these slides. Yeah. If it keeps going, that momentum is just building the wrong way. So hopefully they'll use today as the kick up the arse they need.
I'd pay for a point right now down at Fulham. I would give as much money as I've got to go and pay for that. Just to help people not having to go down to London once again and being disappointed. That's a really, really tough place to go to. And the irony that Silva's done a really good job there and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, how even dice? I'm not going to just go. Go on, sorry.
I don't think it's a tough place to go to. I just feel like Fulham are like one of those teams where it's like, it's not like a mad atmosphere or anything. It's like, if you're better than them, you will beat them. If you're worse than them, you will lose. It seems like a football like equaliser sort of place. Like, you don't get many mad results there. Like, you don't seem to beat many big teams, but you don't seem to lose to many teams that are below them. It's like, they win the games they should, they lose the games they shouldn't. And like, that's what kind of worries me about it a little bit.
No, that's a good point you make there. I remember for many, many years, back when we had Moyes, where it always seemed to be that the home team won every single time we played him. You go away there, apart from that one that Osman scored just before we went to Wembley in 2009, I think it was. Yeah, we played fantastically there. But obviously, it's a nice thing to remember right now while we're talking, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, they're much better than I think what we were saying. Those sort of stereotypes were with them. And it's just a small place as well. You're going to somewhere on a Tuesday night. You've got to be up for this, and you know, like I said, 72 hours to go before we go down there. You know, I don't think it's a fixture that we lost today where, you know, you asked that question, where do we go from here type of thing, because it was an FA Cup game. But my word, Dice has got to change things here, and he's got to do them quickly, because they'll have a break tomorrow, have one day training on Monday, and then go down there on Tuesday. He hasn't got much time to change what we've seen today. We haven't exactly got the squad where you're going to change a lot of players. You're talking about five at the back.
No.
Five at the back and two up front. You just simply can't do. We're 4-5-1, and that's it. Do you know what I mean? You can't do.
We've only got two sentiments.
What a point that is, like. But you know, he looking to it there. He's putting Shamiti on a
Mackenzie Hunt. Come on, lad. I know. Trying to step up.
Yeah. I mean, Gareth Barry was here at the Denby Castle the other week. He's still looking pretty good.
Yeah. David Gibson as well looked all right.
Yeah, get them in the middle.
Yeah.
I just thought of Nicky Hunt. Remember him playing for Reading? Yeah. I've seen Hunt on the bench.
He looked all right as well, to be fair, didn't he?
That's a solid midfield three.
Osman, Barry Gibson would do a job for him.
Kicks and passes round. That would look good.
Darren Gibson would do a job for us still.
And he was here as well, wasn't he?
I know. Yeah. That value up front the way.
Right, we'll close the book forever on that game now.
There's one thing, though, mate. We have 24 hours before votes go out. Please keep going. And doing it. Send it to your mates, send it to anyone you want, send it to Sean Dice, whoever you want to send it to.
Sean, you always vote after that today, mate.
I don't think he'd be able to use your computer the way in which he set this up today. But yeah, to anyone you know, please just say, it takes you about 30 seconds to keep on saying it's less than 90 seconds and 60 seconds. It takes you not a lot of time to do it. Pick us, and because we do this every single week, every single game, and we sit here and talk about games like that. So surely we need some sort of reward for that, and we have that many people in our team as well that all do all sorts of things for us. Please go out and do it. That's like, the big win you want to see from today.
Like Ed, who's just come down here now, not even got a pint or anything, he's just come down and started recording with us, and just about that shite, you know.
It's the epitome of Evertonians, this right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I need to go somewhere and talk like about a really shit game when I should go home, have a nice shower, and sit there watching the telly in my slippers.
I appreciate the free therapy, lads. Thanks very much.
Do you know, it's so funny you say that just before we finish. A lot, so many people say that it is like that sort of thing that we do there, because if you're a fan, you go to the game on your own or with your kids, and you're going back home, you think, how do I even put that into a puzzle, you know what I mean? I can't throw different things in my mind. I need to hear something from someone else. I think we're generally that sort of responsibility. So go vote for us anyway.
It's good to talk.
It is good to talk. What advert was that back in the day? It's good to talk.
Was it BT or something?
BT like that, or something like that, yeah.
T-Mobile
or something.
God, yeah, TNT these days. Yeah. But yeah, that's it. Let's close the book on that game forever. Cheers to Dave. We'll be back to preview Fulham. What a massive match that is. And like Dave said, do go and vote for us in those awards. It'll be lovely to get some kind of... to end the drought since 1995, wouldn't it? Because the lads on the pitch can't do it. So up the toffees. Speak to you soon. Cheers. Sports Social Podcast Network.